Welcome back to the table, ladies. We are in our Bible study segment. We're all the way up to lesson number 36 now in 2 Peter, and our teacher, Connie Stampfel, is here. Hi, Connie.
Hello, Amy.
What are we going to be learning about today?
Well, Peter's going to tell us more about the false teachers, and he's going to give us an example that it's going to help us really understand the motivation and just how the manner of operation of these false teachers.
All right. Well, last lesson that we did was titled Judgment of False Teachers. This one is titled Character of False Teachers, and I have a feeling we're going to be learning about some discernment today. So what I'm going to do is read our lesson passage for the day, and then Connie will teach. And this comes to us from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 10 through 16. Bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones, whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgments against them before the Lord. But these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction, suffering wrong as the wage for their wrongdoing. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes, reviling in their deceptions while they feast with you. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. Accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness.
Thanks, Amy. And so Peter has given us some vivid words to describe and help us understand again what those false teachers look like and their character. Going back to the first part of our passage, he says, bold and willful, basically self-willed. They do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones, whereas angels. So here we have a clue of what Peter is saying about those glorious ones or angels. Though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. And back in Jude, we also have an example that opens it up a little bit for us, and so we get a better idea of what Peter's referring to. And so if Amy will read a passage in Jude, it'll help us understand the glorious ones and what it means to not blaspheme.
Yes, it says from chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively.
All right, and so Jude, like Peter, is talking about there's a certain presumption and arrogance to people who are false teachers, and they speak about matters they do not know, and they speak words to demons or the devil that they do not know what they're doing. And so the example here for both Peter and Jude is that the angel Michael did not directly rebuke the devil. He said, "The Lord rebuke you." And so that's Peter's point here. And then we find going on in her passage that Peter then says, like Jude did, but these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction. And so the idea is they're not using rational mind and thinking. They're just being led by instincts like animals are. And so that's part of how you could recognize that they're not being who God would want them to be, because they're not speaking truth as God does. And verse 13 says, suffering wrong as the wage for their wrongdoing. And we know that's a biblical principle. We know that God judges. And we have a scripture in Galatians that tells us again that, again, humans are called to account for our actions, and we will be judged for what we do.
Yeah, it says Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 is, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will also he reap.
All right. And we understand that if we're not in Jesus Christ, then we will face the just punishment for our sins. But in Christ, those sins are covered and paid for. And then also in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we do what pleases God, we may receive rewards in heaven, but we don't earn heaven by what we do, the good works. We actually give evidence to our faith by doing works that please God. And again, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's for the glory of Jesus Christ. We go on here, though, what Peter's talking about, again, these false teachers, and he gets very vivid with his language. He says, they count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. All right, so they're not even carousing and doing evil at night. They're bold enough to do it in daylight. And then it says, they are blots and blemishes, literally dirt spots and scabs, reveling in their deceptions. And then it says, while they feast with you. And he might be referring to that they're actually in the church body and they're attending the love feast, the communion feast, and they're carousing there. And so it's a terrible picture of a mix of what should be holy with they're mixing in kind of what the pagan revelry in the temples might have been. And then he says they have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls, meaning truly they bait or trap them. And then they said they have hearts trained or exercised in greed. Mm. And here we have, again, their motivation. And so if you look at the character of these false teachers, it's really a terribly dark, evil character. And we know that adultery often is paired with idolatry. And that's what's going on here. And then it says, accursed children. And so it doesn't mean they're children of God. It really is a Jewish term that has to do with a judgment, a condemnation on them, and that they're not children of God because they're cursed. And then he says, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. And that's truly the bottom line of what a false teacher is. They've rejected the way of Christ, and they're going a different way, which allows for their sin and their greed and their self-profit. And then he says, they have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. And he's an interesting character in the Old Testament. So we're going to do a little scripture reading about him. Maybe I'll set it up and then I'll have Amy read a little bit from Numbers for us. But he was a prophet, and he was a prophet who could be bought because he truly was motivated by money. And we're going to find that from his passage. And we're also going to find out that God used a simple donkey to correct the prophet's madness. And I guess the only other thing to say about it is if we think about this entire idea, to sin is insanity because it rejects the truth of who God is.
This is one of my favorite stories from Numbers 22, and you can pick that up in verse 27. It says, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have made a fool of me, I wish I had a sword in my hand, for then I would kill you. And the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life long to this day? Is it my habit to treat you this way? And he said, no. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed down and fell on his face, and the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to oppose you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside before me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely just now I would have killed you and let her live.
All right. And so again, we're seeing it's the prophet's badness. He was motivated by greed. He went with these men because they were going to honor him and give him a lot of money. And God allowed him to do it, but then God was going to strike him dead. And if the donkey hadn't been afraid of the Lord and responded appropriately, Balaam would have died right there. Again, it's the prophet's badness over sin. We also know that even though after Balaam got to the place where the children of Israel were and he was being paid to curse them, he could not because the Spirit of the Lord made him prophesy what was true. Mm. He, however, had a way of helping the Moabites to get back at the children of Israel. And it was because he gave them the idea of having the women seduce the men. And we have another passage in Numbers where that's referenced, and I'll just read it to you. It's Numbers 31, verse 16. Behold, these, on Balaam's advice, caused the people of Israel to act treacherously against the Lord in the incidents of Peor, and so the plague came among the congregation of the Lord. Today's lesson really has to do, again, with the character of the false prophets, and I think it's been illustrated to us just how wicked they can be and what their motivations are. And truly, we know that Jesus also told us about how to recognize false teachers, and it had to do about looking at their fruit. And so in our assignment today, there's some passages where Jesus instructs about that. And that'll be what you can look at home and see what Jesus said.
All right. And if you'd like to download that particular lesson, it's day or lesson number 36, Character of False Teachers. You can find that at naomistable.com. Nancy and I are going to be back in just a moment with more on this lesson when we come back.